This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trey Anderson was in the Bengals office today talking to Bengals brass, give him permission to seek a trade, and I do expect him to get moved. There's going to be significant interest. There has already been significant interest. I would, of course, keep an eye on basically all the teams who would need one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, which is basically all of them. But among the teams, the Indianapolis Colts, they have Lou Anarumo, his former defensive coordinator. Last year with the Cincinnati Bengals, fired, went to the Colts. They need an edge. This one makes a lot of sense. There's going to be plenty of other teams as well, but you're right. I mean, to me, this is the Bengals saying, love Trey Anderson, great player. His value is greater in a trade as opposed to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, where they've made some level of progress trying to get them new deals. Their value is on the team. Henderson's value is not. Put it all together, and that'll be the Bengals you'll get on the field next season.
Ian Rappaport on Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, which I think has a lot of different offshoots.
Sure does.
Trey Hendrickson going to be traded by the Bengals, which I think, and tell me if you agree with this, Keith, makes it more likely T. Higgins is staying in Cincinnati.
It does. One of the reasons I thought Higgins was gone, I thought they would prioritize him more. Sam Hubbard just retired. Trey Hendrickson is one of the better pass rushers in the league. Remember, he signed the same year in Cincinnati as Matt Judon did here, and they were both awesome right away, and Hendrickson's been pretty good. The defense stinks with him, and maybe that's the argument. But like, hey, he's not that good with him, so we can go somewhere else. Or you say, he's like the one good defensive player we have. We should probably keep him and try to build around him just so we don't have to give up, you know, 30 points every week.
So the reported asking price is a second, third-round pick for Hendrickson. I am also reading, Florio just had this note, that the Max Crosby deal with the Raiders apparently is what pushed the Bengals in the direction of trading Trey Hendrickson. But I think the T. Higgins dream kind of dead now, I think. We'll see.
I think so. I think it was kind of dead anyway. You know, when we asked Kern, or I asked Kern about A.J. Brown, much to the chagrin of every Philadelphia Eagles fan, he was like, yeah, that makes more sense than T. Higgins or D.K. Metcalf. And you're like, oh, like these guys we feel like are more available. You think, this is sort of an aside, do you think T. Higgins just plays the franchise tag again, or do you think he actually gets a deal there?
Well, I already thought he was going to play on the tag. I guess Hendrickson getting traded makes it more likely they work out a deal with Higgins, but I would still lean franchise
just the tag.
Yeah,
he might. But either way, off the board.
Yeah, so, but I don't think you're going to get him this offseason. So anyway, it's like, all right, DK Metcalf doesn't want to play here. People keep tweeting at me. Metcalf doesn't want to play in New England. He told Katie Nolan. So no athlete's ever said they don't want to come to Boston and then showed up in Boston. It's never happened.
Nope.
I guess we just can't even think of that being the case. Fine. So they're out on Metcalf, who I already think they didn't like anyway based on some of the reporting. I like him, but like he's a bad fit in the McDaniels offense, blah, blah, blah. T. Higgins, not a real fit, it turns out, because he's not going to leave Cincinnati. Okay. You know, add names like Deebo Samuel and things who have already been traded to the list. They can't get Christian Kirk, who was dealt yesterday for a seventh-round pick, which my only takeaway on that is maybe there's a chance Kupp gets traded and not released, Keith.
Yeah.
Like if Deebo got traded and Christian Kirk got traded,
the Jets couldn't trade Devontae Adams, but the Jaguars could trade Christian Kirk.
It might just say something to like,
yeah.
And it might just say something to the market the players are going to have too. Like maybe Cup's like, yeah, no, I want to go like really see what my market is in free agency. Same thing for Davante Adams. Is Christian Kirk going to have like a massive market? Maybe Debo wouldn't have as well. Like maybe there's something like that.
Yeah.
But okay, cross some of those guys off the list. They have a new number one target, according to Mike Giardi.
All right.
Hot off the presses this morning.
What do we got?
Giardi says, per league sources, Chris Godwin would be incredibly sought after, assuming he gets to free agency. So that's still not a done deal.
No.
And he's worked with the Bucs on moving back his deadline to negotiate an extension to next week. Patriots expected to be the driver there, Giardi writes.
Okay.
It's going to cost more money than you would have thought. Think in excess of $25 million a year.
That's not more than I thought.
Despite the season-ending injury. So money to me is no concern. Godwin would not be at the top of my personal list, but if he gets to market, I hope the Patriots don't say, oh man, he went for 28. We weren't willing to go there. Like if he's your number one guy,
yeah,
get uncomfortable and spend the money. That would be my hope. He's not my number one guy, but if he's yours and the Herald has reported this, now Giardi is reporting this, good. If he gets to market, go get him. Don't come crying in a couple of weeks that, oh, it's not about finance when it's always about finance.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of finance, like Calvin Ridley last year, Chris Godwin's better than. Debo Samuel just got traded. I would rather have Chris Godwin. Like, I think Godwin's a better player than both of those guys. There's a list.
He's definitely better than Ridley. I don't know if I agree with you on Debo, but he's definitely better than Ridley.
So he's, last year, unfortunately, he was having one of his best seasons before he got hurt. So he only played in 7 games. So he is coming off an injury. That is a mild concern. I think he'd be awesome. Like for the team, we talk about, you know, could they use a real, like, just like with the Red Sox with Bregman, I feel like Godwin would be that type of guy. We talk about Cooper Kupp would be that kind of guy for this wide receiver room. Tom Brady, we could probably find some of the quotes. Tom Brady talking about Chris Godwin, he gushed about him, like one of the greatest teammates he's ever had, all this thing. So you know he's a real professional. He's also head and shoulders better at the position than everybody else that you currently have, and he doesn't cost you any draft picks. So for a team that is so desperate to add talent, and you know, hopefully you get somebody either really good at number 4 or you trade number 4 for somebody really good. You get somebody really good at 38 or you trade up. Godwin would just be the money. So if it's $25 million in free agency where there aren't a lot of really good wide receivers available just straight up in free agency, $25 million is kind of low in my mind. More and more receivers are making 30 or more million per season. And I know Godwin's coming off an injury, so maybe you don't have to go to that number. But if you just get him, and so now you're talking about you're going into the draft and you've already addressed your number one receiver, like I'll take that.
Yes.
Oh! Wow! Boom, boom! Boom, boom! Boom, boom! You know what that means, Jones? It is NHL trade deadline day. A trade has just been made, so we go to the NHL trade desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy.
So according to Elliot Freeman, he's hearing Pittsburgh Penguins' Anthony Beauvillier.
Yep.
Beauvillier is being traded to the Washington Capitals. No return has been announced yet.
Very good. Thank you, Billy. So you're in on Godwin or no?
I am in on Godwin.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to even say the right price. I just, if he's their guy, go get him. And so the line I don't like in there from Giardi is, again, it's gonna go for more than you thought. It's free agency.
No, I don't think so. Like I think the number.
Okay,
he says insane.
Okay, he says in excess of $25 million. But whatever it is, right. more than you thought. Are the Patriots gonna get uncomfortable on a player like this? Like I maintain, if Ronnie Stanley gets to free agency, the Patriots have no excuse not to land Ronnie Stanley. None. You have the most money. You have the need. You have a quarterback and a coach that people are supposedly gung-ho about playing with. So go get that done. And if you don't, the blame is ultimately going to lie with ownership if it's about the finance, to use Robert Kraft's word. But I am going to start to question Vrabel and the pull he has. Like, okay, I mean, it's Kraft's money, but do you have any sway? Did you change anything? Do you actually have any pull? Or is it just going to be Robert Kraft continuing not to spend, and it's just a new former Patriots linebacker, probably better as a coach than Mayo, no doubt.
Yeah, but
just a new former Patriots linebacker coaching the team while Kraft cheaps out. So I'm going to question if Vrabel has real sway. If Ronnie Stanley gets to market and he goes to even a team like the Chiefs where he could contend over taking the Patriots' money, make him make a call.
Yeah, you're going to have to
where he can't say no.
You're going to have to pay more than everybody else. That's how it goes.
I would say the same thing about Godwin. Unless they come up with like a real plan where they've traded for Metcalf and they sign Kupp like we want them to do, then I'd stand down on Godwin. But if Godwin gets to market, because I have questions if Stanley and Godwin still will.
Yeah.
It sounds like they might, But if they get there, there's really no excuse for the Patriots not to land those guys. And if they don't, and Vrabel's the guy in charge, and everyone tells me Vrabel's the guy in charge, I'm not going to blame Cowden or Wolf or Stretch or any of these guys.
This is on Stretch.
I'm going to start to look at Vrabel and go, oh, well, I was told he was in here running football ops, but apparently the guy has no yank, no pull.
So there's 11 guys, I think, right now in the league that make $25 million or more per year as a wide receiver.
Okay.
So if Chris Godwin's the best available free agent and he's just like somewhere in the pack, that also tells me you're not really overspending. Like usually it's those guys that are the best available that shoot up and make, you're like, oh, he's not the best. Because you could make a case when healthy, he might be a top 10 receiver.
I was just going to ask you.
Top 15?
I would say no that he's a top 10. I'd have to sit down and rank it, but I would say he's closer to 20 than 10 if I had to do it off the top of my head.
So some of the guys that make 25 or more million are Devontae Smith.
I would take Devontae Smith over
him. Oh, you would?
I would.
I think Godwin's better. T. Higgins?
I would take Higgins over him.
Cooper Kupp?
I would now...
DJ Moore?
I would take Godwin over Moore.
Yeah.
I think I would take Godwin over Kupp.
Okay.
Should he get to market? Yeah.
Jalen Waddle.
I would take Godwin over Waddle. Waddle's had a couple of down years in a row.
I know. Brandon Ayuk.
I would take Ayuk.
Coming off a bad year, but yeah,
I would still take Ayuk. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, he's in that range.
Yeah,
and usually when you're a free agent, you sort of shoot above guys that maybe you aren't better than, but you're just available.
Yeah, if nothing else, all those guys are comparable. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, you're comparing Godwin to Ayuk.
No,
like,
it's not nuts.
And not everybody probably would take Devontae Smith over Godwin. So I think a lot of those guys are real debates.
Yeah.
That's where he deserves to be paid. Are the Patriots going to do it?
So I don't know. And you're right. If he just stays with the Bucs and Stanley stays with the Ravens, there's less of a, what are you guys doing? But if both go to other teams and you find out that, oh, they were so close, like they offer, like they go Red Sox. You can't go Red Sox for the last 3 or 4 years where they're, what were they called, the interest kings or whatever else it was. They were like the runner up for everybody or one of the finalists for everybody. That's not going to cut it this year. They just have, they're so desperate for talent.
Okay. So I keep reading these. It's like, I got a bunch of tweets after our 60-second videos. They're up at Jones and Keefe, among other things. We'll get to more in a moment.
Yes.
On YouTube as well, our plans for Patriots free agency. In 60 seconds, a lot of people have plans, Keefe. A lot of people have ideas.
Yeah. Streamline it.
We're the only place giving you a whole offseason in 60 seconds. We do it every Thursday on Jones and Keefe. But like a lot of the responses to the video yesterday were, they're never going to get DK Metcalf. You know he doesn't want to play here. He said he doesn't want to play in New England. To which I'd say, again, well, don't really give him a choice. Number one, if you're trading for him, he does not have much say.
Right.
And number two, give him a contract he can't refuse. So I'm less worried about that than most. But okay, people think that you're not going to get Metcalf. And now T. Higgins isn't leaving Cincinnati. And then we get texts like this, 617-779-7937. Guys, Godwin will never come here.
Oh, so never, it's like, never mind then.
No, it's just like, well, then what are they going to get? Who are they going to bring in? We started talking about this last week when we read, or I guess it was Monday even, Andrew Callahan and Doug Kyd in the Boston Herald, and Phil Perry, all his buzz from the combine. It's linking them to all these players, but then it also nitpicks them. And it's like, well, I don't know if this guy's the right fit for McDaniels. And that guy's kind of chubby. And oh, by the way, like this guy's old. And this guy costs too much money.
Okay.
So it's like, what do you think they're going to do here in free agency? They have all this money.
Uh-huh.
If they're not going to spend it, what exactly are they doing? And I keep coming back to it. I think if Stanley and Godwin and guys like that get to free agency, I think they're going to land guys like that. I do think they're that desperate. And if they don't, we'll kick the crap out of them next week.
Well, it happens every year. And not that you want to be this team necessarily, but there were years where the Redskins, before they were even football team or the Commanders, were not exactly a destination, but they would spend the most money and they would get guys to go play there. Didn't know it's work, but they would get guys. Like the Jets would get guys. The Raiders, like, you don't have to be a destination by any means if you're putting out the most money. And I do think that this could still be a little bit more of a destination than your typical 4-win team, only because you have shown, hey, we have a new head coach. We have a guy that's actually, you know, he's made playoffs. He's made the AFC Championship game. He seems like a coach that I think players would want to play for. Also, we know what we're doing at quarterback, so we're not just going to be, like, swapping out quarterbacks every single year. That would speak more to, like, the wide receivers and the O-linemen than it would the defensive players. But you have a little bit more of a sell than you might have had before. But it's going to come down to money, which you also have. But what's frustrating is, as a Patriots fan, we've heard that for 3 straight years. Well, we have all this cap space. Great. Maybe do something other than just re-signing your own guys that were also a part of these 4-win teams.
It's a good point. Also, text line 617-779-7937. Guys, they're literally going to get nobody. You know it. You're just filling time.
No, I mean, maybe.
Okay, but I expect them to get some of these guys. And again, if they don't, we're going to crush them. And yeah, so it's important to get your thoughts on record before free agency starts up. Legal tampering's Monday.
Yeah.
And guys are officially signing, officially, on Wednesday. We're going to hear about it long before Wednesday. So we're getting our thoughts out now. You guys can do so as well. 617-779-7937. Of course, anything breaks on Brad Marchand, we'll get to it. The reporting from Chris Johnston this morning of Sportsnet. He said it with DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn, What Chaos podcast this morning. He expected to wake up today, and Marchand could be playing somewhere on the West Coast. So we're not there yet. We'll keep our eyes on everything leading up to the NHL trade deadline today at 3 o'clock. You can also continue to vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. Keefe, we have movement.
Movement?
In the basketball region.
Oh, my God.
We called three of our four precincts yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
In all the 116 matchups, but the basketball region, 116, Nuggets versus Hornets, too close to call. The Nuggets Rainbow Skyline, which Keefe is modeling today, if you're watching on Twitch.tv.
People are underselling this jersey.
/BostonWEEI. The Nuggets have jumped back in front, Keefe.
Woo!
But it is going down to the wire. There's like an hour left on the poll.
I'm telling you guys, the Charlotte Hornets jersey, the uniform, this is what it's about. The uniform is not as impressive as you think. This isn't the starter jacket.
Not just that cool picture of LJ.
That's swaying people.
That's swaying.
It's grandmama.
That's what's
you're thinking
on.
Starter jacket. You're thinking Hornet dribbling a ball. It's not that. It's just teal. I like teal. Who doesn't like teal? But all it says is Charlotte. There's no skyline, there's no mountains, and there's no rainbow.
So you have to scroll down a little bit in the time. That's from yesterday. The polls still have not closed from yesterday's polling. We have two more up today. The baseball region, 8-9 matchup. The winner will play the Expos, Marlins and Mets. That one's pretty heavily one-sided towards the Marlins. The 8-9 matchup in the football region, the winner will play the powder blue Chargers jerseys, is the Cowboys and the Falcons 8-9 matchup.
I kind of like the Falcons.
That one's trending for an upset. It's the red 80s Falcons.
Yeah, I like those.
Versus the classic Cowboys uniform.
Deion Sanders would wear these. I think Bobby Hebert may have had these on.
Deion Sanders has worn both of these, Keefe.
Good point.
Yeah. It's Deion versus Deion.
Deion model all of these. The San Francisco one.
I own both.
They didn't make it in.
You own both Deion jerseys?
I do. I have a white Deion Dallas and a red Deion Falcons.
Wow.
Florida State's in the bracket, too. We can add the Deion Florida State in there.
It's the Billy Lanny matchup. Yeah, and you're right. And Florida State.
Maybe just because he's so cool that we think all these uniforms are good because we've seen Deion wear them.
How dare the text line overselling the crap out of the Nuggets jersey.
I really don't think
How
that I am.
How dare you,
I
sir.
I don't think that I am.
Or ma'am.
I might be underselling it.
So go to the at Jones and Keefe Twitter timeline. You can vote in all of the various poll questions there as the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket is underway and in full swing all month long.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's in today's Friday four-pack?
Friday here on Jones and Keefe, which means we have a four-pack of questions we'll get to momentarily. We also have our eyes glued to the NHL trade deadline at 3 o'clock. Tick, tick, tick. 3.5 hours away. Lanny's working the phones back at our NHL trade desk.
Very good.
Plugged in.
Already had a big one.
On all the moves throughout the end. A massive one. Anthony Beauvillier?
He got dealt.
Dealt earlier today. Still no
pack
news.
Pack your bags, son.
No news on Marchand. We'll get back to him coming up in a moment. Real quick, let's squeeze in Matt in Rhode Island before the four-pack. Go ahead, Matt.
All right.
Hey, what's up, guys? I need to hear that sounder because I love when Keith just flexes on everyone. It's the best. with Chris Godwin coming off that serious injury, like, you'd have to really up on him because, you know, the suck tax plus the millionaire tax, he's comfortable there in Tampa. For me, it's all in on DK. When he said he wants a trade, then, you know, we got the extra third rounder for Judon. Just make that happen because, and the wide receiver from San Fran that we already went through that with last year, he reeks of the guy who gets paid and kind of shuts it down. So,
Ayuk,
yeah. DK, he's my man as far as that's concerned.
Thanks. Okay. Did you settle on a last best offer for DK yesterday? Or was yours swap,
my best offer
swap
is,
4 and 18?
Yep. Drop down 14 spots, but you still have a first-round pick, and you get Metcalf. And they move all the way up to 4. I feel like that's fair, because a lot of times it's like, hey, this is what I would offer them. It's like, well, you're not getting a third-round. Like the report that teams have offered a third-round pick, great. Like, you're not going to get DK Metcalf, I don't think, for just a third-round pick.
I don't think so either. So
but I think that's fair.
I think I would do 38 for him, but if I had to stretch all the way to drop from 4 to 18, and I get Metcalf, and now I'm picking in the middle of the first round, I would do that as well. So you could jump in here. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket coming up about 15 minutes from now. In the meantime, what do we have for the Friday four-pack today, Billy?
First question, will Vlad Jr. make over $600 million on a deal?
So apparently the report was that the Blue Jays were trying to get a deal done, but they didn't go north of that, and that might be what he's looking for. And so
I'll answer quick. No. You think he's going to get $600 million?
Yeah.
I don't.
He's young. He's younger than you think.
I know, but he's also like... You know, talk about Rafi Devers not really having a position and, like, how are you going to age at that frame? Like, I don't – he's going to turn 26 shortly, maybe by opening day.
Happy early birthday to Vlad. Next week, I think.
Yeah, you're right, March 16th.
So this will be his age 26 season.
Yeah.
So a lot of times these guys hit free agency at, like, 29, 30. It's a lot
you're right,
older.
Even later, yeah.
So if you're offering a 12-year deal or 15-year deal, so – Juan Soto's better than he is, but Juan Soto just gets $765.
Yeah.
I think if Vlad Guerrero has a
year... Are you not worried at all about how Guerrero's going to age with that frame? Like, similar to Devers. And I know Devers is at third versus a first baseman, and they'll probably both be DHs, but like...
I think teams are crazy.
I think
the money's going up. I think they're spending like nuts. So he was so good in 2021. He was one of the best players in baseball. He dipped a little bit over the last 2 years to the point where I remember the Blue Jays had a series against the Red Sox. And like, man, he's not really the same player. And then he went... crazy the rest of the year. He's a 3,100 guy once again, hitting 323. His OPS was over 900 last year. So if he has a year comparable to that and doesn't sign early and just plays it out that year, I think he does. He could sign a massive deal and still make $150 million less than Juan Soto.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I
think the numbers are so crazy on
baseball.
Don't
misunderstand what I'm saying.
No, I know.
Like if the Red Sox give him $650, I'm not going to be like, that's stupid. But if you're asking me, what do I think the number's going to be?
It's going to be 500?
Five something. Five, okay. You know, but like, so I think 600 is crazy. I just don't think it's going to get that high personally.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Who will win more games next year? Bill Belichick in North Carolina or Mike Vrabel with the Patriots?
So
are the Patriots doing our plans from yesterday or they're doing what we're fearful they're going to do?
As of this moment, and the Patriots play more games, so that helps them.
That'll work.
I'm still taking North Carolina. The ACC is not very good.
I mean, neither is North Carolina.
Yeah, but they're not, like, coming off.
Has Bill signed anybody? I heard about how Bill was
going to, the UConn kid?
Flex in the transfer portal. Like, the Patriots have a real opportunity to upgrade their talent, like, overnight.
I think
overnight.
He got 1 4-star.
Did he?
There you go.
Think so?
Hell yeah.
I thought he got the quarterback to come back. I thought that was the biggest recruit.
He got the kid that was the MVP of the Fenway Bowl that played against him.
Right,
he got him from, didn't he get a kid from Holy Cross,
Patriots,
too?
They're so good, we know their names.
Patriots win more than Bill.
Kid know everything.
That's what I think. Patriots win more than Bill.
They have more opportunities to do it, but I'm going to take the Tar Heels because...
And again, this is wins, not win percentage, wins.
This is wins. Yeah. So last year, North Carolina had 6 wins, and they weren't very good. They fired their coach. I think Bill's going to win a couple more games than that.
I know, but they're losing what might be like a first-round running back. Bill's brought in no talent. Like, I don't know.
But you look at their schedule, and not to be like, hey, did you see the ACC schedule? But I looked at it, and first of all, the ACC's down. If Florida State isn't a wagon, the ACC is not very good.
Right.
They don't have any really tough non-conference games. It's not like they're scheduling Oregon and Alabama. So I think Bill Belichick, even if he doesn't have a great year, could win 8 games. There's no guarantee the Patriots win 8 games. As of right now, without bringing in anybody worth a damn yet, are they going to double their wins? I think North Carolina wins more games.
Okay. We'll disagree on that. We've disagreed on the first two. A lot of disagreement here today.
A lot of disagreement.
I don't like it.
Slug in the gut.
I'm a little nervous. I'm going to wind up on a beefs list. What else do we got here, Billy?
Who will Brad Marchand play his next game for?
Ooh, this is a good one.
This is a great one.
Ready? I bet we have the same one. We have not talked about this.
1, 2, 3.
Vegas.
Avalanche.
No, we don't.
Okay, no, wrong. We disagree once again, sir.
How dare you?
I love that rumor. I heard Hart and the guys in the afternoon talking about could Colorado just get nuts and trade for Brad Marchand and Sidney Crosby and have sort of like a Team Canada thing going on out there. I think we both agree it's going to be a team out west. There's a lot of contenders that make sense out west. I also think that'd be the easiest thing for the Bruins to do. There's been no rumors to any Eastern Conference team, but that would, I think, the fan base will already be pretty split on a Brad Marchand trade. But if you dealt him to an Eastern Conference team, I think people would have like a meltdown.
What if you deal him to Cassidy in Vegas?
I think that would be all right, actually. Just because
I think fans would get on board with that.
I think they'd end up rooting for him. Do you think fans don't like Cassidy? I think players don't like Cassidy. I think fans kind of do.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I mean, I do. I guess I can speak for everybody.
I thought when he was bringing the cup to the Cape and, you know, kind of throwing stuff back in the team's...
He should have.
Of course he should have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But were fans happy about it? I don't know. I think they're pretty polarized on Cassidy, to be honest.
But
maybe
I'm
wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong.
Like Kendrick Perkins saying that the Lakers saved the NBA season. Could Marchand reuniting with Cassidy save the NHL season?
How about that?
It'd be a huge story.
I think a Western Conference team makes a lot of sense. A team like Colorado, although LeBron said again, he thinks it's less likely after their deal for Brock Nelson last night.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's a no.
Right.
You know, we've talked before about like Edmonton and teams like this. I don't know who's his no movement list or who's on there. There's 8 teams. I'd imagine it's a lot of Canadian teams and Western Canada teams. That's where you tend to not want to play. Yeah, Winnipeg's very good this year, but like it's apparently a terrible place to play, live, even for these Canadian players.
Send him to Vancouver. I know he loves it there.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Watch them twist themselves up. If he becomes a Vancouver Canuck, that'd be hilarious. But I will say Vegas. He reunites with Bruce Cassidy in Vegas. What's the last one, Bill?
Is the trade is the best reality show?
So you watch a lot of reality shows. I watch some reality shows that just wrapped up last night. No spoilers for those that are waiting to watch it. There's 3 seasons, and I've only seen season 2 and 3, and I love it. I love the show. I can't put it above classic Real World.
You didn't
or
love
Real
the finale,
Challenge.
Though. Without giving away any spoilers, you didn't love the finale.
No, the season 2 finale much stronger than the season 3 finale.
I did not love the season 3 finale.
I love the idea of the show. That's sort of like this murder mystery where you as the viewer know who the murderers are, but you're trying to, you know, you're watching everybody else like interact with each other. Love the premise. The cast can be hit or miss because I don't watch all those other shows. So it's like, all right, whatever. There's people from these Bravo shows that my wife watches that I don't know and whatever. I love the format. I think it's one of the best reality shows. I can't say it's the best.
I wouldn't put it at the top of the heap either. But I love the challenge. Challenge has gone downhill recently.
Yeah.
But like now we're talking about like what am I most like dug in on and what have I spent the most time watching.
If you said like right now, I might say yes.
Yeah.
But if you're like, no, like real world Seattle from back in like 97, right. It's like, no, that's better TV than this.
I still love Big Brother. Like, and it's part of why I got into Traitors, because people from Big Brother, there was overlap there. Yeah. Challenge as well. Bananas was on last season. CT was on last season. Wes was on this season. So I still love Big Brother. I've never been a Survivor guy.
Me neither.
So I feel like if I ever watched Survivor and got around to actually doing that, I would have Survivor on that list as well. Most people do.
Didn't we come up with, there's like 80 seasons of Survivor? There's some insane number. Yeah, like, how could it possibly be that many? Did they do two a year?
Yeah,
there's like 40 seasons or something?
It's something like that. Yeah, I think it's 40-something seasons.
I'm like, how is that
and
possible?
And they do two a year? That might be right.
Got it.
But like, Survivor does
They're on season 48.
That's okay. Nuts.
Give me, how many episodes like per season on Survivor? Isn't it like 15? It's like not outrageous.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Big Brother's like 40 episodes a year.
Is it really?
It's something ridiculous, yeah.
That's too many.
Plus there's live
Last
streams.
Last season
if you
was 14 episodes.
Okay, so that's very manageable. 14. Like, that's not that different than Traitors. Traitors is like 12, right?
How long are the Big Brother people? Yeah, Traitors was 11, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
How long are the Big Brother people in the house for?
Like 90 days. Like
Holy
3
smokes.
Months, yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, they come out. They're like, "What the hell happened?
What? New president?"
Yeah, I mean,
the world.
I think they've broken in like once ever to like update them on like outside news.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys, there's something called COVID going on right now. You're gonna have to stay in the house.
But no, Traitors would be on the short. Traitors is great. I'm down on the finale last night.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean don't watch it. You should watch it if you've been watching and haven't seen the episode yet. But I'm down on the finale. But overall, great show.
Any rumors on a season 4 cast?
Cast? No, I'm sure
they're
going to
get that going. Yeah,
cast?
Yeah.
No.
Because I think it's pretty popular. It's a popular Peacock show.
It is.
They have the best host. Alan Cumming's the best host of any
Alan Cumming
show.
Don't sleep on Fergus.
Fergus is good, too.
I like Fergus.
Yeah, he's good.
I don't know what the little dog's name is, but I like him.
He looks kind of like Harrow.
Yeah?
Looks like my dog a bit.
Like a mini Harrow.
Like a minier little guy Harrow.
He looks like Charles, except he has teeth.
Yeah, that would be
it's a dog with
huge difference.
It's a dog with teeth.
Yeah, it's canines.
So there you go. It's the Friday 4-Pack here on Jones and Keefe. I will not give you any updates here in the Jones and Keefe bracket other than to let you know yet another matchup has dropped in the, where'd it go? Basketball
Ooh,
region, I believe,
boy.
Is the latest one we dropped. Hang on. Let me fact check myself. Yes, in the basketball region, a new 8-9 matchup has dropped at Jones and Keefe.
These are good.
You can vote there along with the other two that are up this morning. Plus, it's still going down to the wire in our 1-16 in the basketball region yesterday. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll update you on all of it coming up next. It's time for the Jones and Keefe bracket. Your update. Every day on Jones and Keefe, all March long, uniform March Madness bracket. Just go to @JonesandKeefe on Twitter to seek it out. Our latest matchup has dropped, the 8-9 matchup. The winner will play Keefe, TBD,
woo!
Because the Nuggets and Hornets are 1-16 matchup from yesterday. Still too close to call. Polling has not been closed yet. I know we're getting close.
That's right.
It has not closed yet. But we just opened up the 8-9 matchup in the basketball region. Again, four regions, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, that's professional, some college mixed in there as well. So vote at Jones and Keefe. It is the number 8-seeded Heat Miami Vice uniforms.
Those are nice.
Versus the number 9-seeded Heat 80s white uniforms as modeled by, is that Harold Miner?
Baby Jordan. Harold Miner himself, winner of a dunk contest, maybe even two.
I think two. I think you're right.
The Miami Vice uniform, I don't love a lot of the City Connects. No.
Those are nice.
City Editions.
Yeah. City Connect is baseball.
City Connect baseball, City Edition.
Which I kept
basketball.
Pushing to get the Red Sox one in. Nobody else was on board with that.
I don't love it. That one's, I think, pretty polarizing at this point. Like the marathon one?
I initially didn't like it. I those uniforms have now grown on me quite a bit.
Well, you know why? Was it last year or the year before they wore them every game? Like they went on like a winning streak. They're like, let's keep wearing them. It's like, well, let's save them a little bit. No, but the Miami Vice uniforms might be the only ones in the NBA that I really, really like for these like alternate ones. Those are slick. The Celtics just played them a couple of weeks ago when they were wearing those. You're like, that is pretty solid. I picked that. Right now, that's got a slight lead over the old school.
Oh, it is. It's in front now. Okay. Early on when I last checked, it was Miami Vice was behind.
Nope, Vice is up now.
Okay.
The votes are coming in.
You still have 45 minutes to vote, and you have to scroll down. This goes back to yesterday around 12:30. Voting will close at about 12:30 on this one. Number 1-seeded Nuggets, the Rainbow Skyline jersey. Again, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Keith can model that.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
You.
It was just the shirt.
If you'd like. Yeah, not the jersey, but the shirt.
I don't have an Alex English.
Against the Charlotte Hornets 90s teal.
Yeah.
A lot of votes there. It continues to go back and forth. If nothing else, we've learned the Nuggets are a shaky 1-seed, Keith. But we might have a 16 over a 1 in the Jones and Keefe bracket. We called the other three from yesterday. They have been called. The Chargers officially took down the powder blue Chargers, officially took down the white Bengal Tiger uniforms. That was a 1-16 matchup. The one seed advances. Mm-hmm. The red, white, and blue Expos officially took down the Joe Carters, as we're calling them.
Yeah, the Joe Carters.
The
yeah.
Blue Jays.
Juan Guzman's.
Oh! The Juan Guzman.
Juan Guzman.
Real nice.
What a player.
So they advanced in pretty much a walkover. And hot. The biggest blowout yesterday was the top-seeded Whalers in their classic greens.
Well, yeah. They're
over the Flames Fire Horse 16 seed that Nick loves for some reason.
They're kind of a wagon.
So those are the ones from yesterday.
I didn't say they'd be the strongest. I just like them.
That's a weird
seed.
What a weird submission.
We've announced three matchups today. We currently have the baseball region 8-9 Marlins are on top of the Mets. They're 80s pinstripes. Daryl Strawberry modeling those. Very nice. And we have the Falcons in kind of a rout. This would be an upset, a mini upset. The red 80s uniforms for the Falcons over the Cowboys classics.
That also might have to do with people just don't like the Cowboys, which I understand. But I'm just going based strictly on uniform. I'm not blaming Terp for this because he's got a lot on his plate. But going back to the Nuggets skyline versus the Hornets, he has just a picture of a jersey shown on Twitter of the Nuggets jersey, which I think still looks really good. And then it's a badass picture of Grandmama Larry Johnson wearing a Hornets jersey. I think that could sway some of the voting. Now, how'd you use this photo? Look at this. Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf spinning a ball on his finger.
That's nice.
With a gold bracelet on.
Oh, I can't even
see. I don't know if he wears that in the games or not.
Oh, yeah.
But he's wearing the skyline jersey. They got the number above the skyline. It says Nuggets underneath it. Like that's pretty sharp.
Yeah, Terp doing a great job, despite Keith telling him how to do his job.
I'm just saying that this may impact the voting is all I'm saying.
But Terp doing a great job on Twitch if you're missing out on any of these. If you can't quite picture them, you're driving around. Yeah, and on YouTube as well. Subscribe to WEEI. If you can't quite picture them, we have the video component going on as well.
Texter's right. Jones clearly just likes light blue because all of his favorite jerseys are light blue.
So but I already knew that about myself. Okay. I knew I liked all these powder blue uniforms. Yeah, yeah. Like I knew that. But what I didn't realize until we sat down and did the exercise, I like, and I don't know how many of them we've nominated yet. I'm trying to think in my head. I don't know that one has come up yet. I think I just like the color orange. I never realized this.
Orange. Big Syracuse guy.
Maybe.
No, you're not. But you do like the Denver Broncos, which combine
Broncos orange
light
crush.
Blue and orange.
Yeah, good point.
Really the world's colliding.
Like the Bucks creamsicle uniforms.
Yeah, those are pretty solid.
You know, like I like some of these orange uniforms. Like Nick suggested the Orioles. I'm like, yeah, we gotta get the Orioles in there. So I like that orange more than I realized.
Orange pops. So here's an idea. I don't know if this will happen or not. Can we change the Jones and Keefe logo to light blue and orange? Jones's favorite colors. Well, that could shut down probably. All right. Just an idea.
Can we do that?
Probably not.
We'll ask Ken when he gets back. That's what we'll do.
All right.
But anyway, we'll have the full bracket up at Jones and Keefe. You can vote along. It's the 8-9 matchups today. It was the 1-16 matchups yesterday. I think we're going to have a couple over the weekend.
That's what I was going to say. Again, not to put too much work on Terp, which is seemingly what this is. He's like, yeah, great idea, guys. Let's just keep doing this. Let's keep doing nonstop tweets and polls and pictures and everything else.
More work this weekend, if you don't mind. Yeah,
yeah, there's not like a Celtics-Lakers game for him to work and focus on. But yeah, over the weekend, too. So at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. It's just easiest to do it there. We should put up some of the matchups, not that you can vote on them, but maybe some of the stuff on Instagram as well. But the easiest way to do it would be to go on Twitter and vote your little hearts out.
And one thing I learned in this process that I didn't realize until we actually sat down and did it, and yesterday it did not hold up, but we will have another hockey matchup today. That'll be our final 8-9 matchup, is the strength in the hockey region. That's a strong region. That's a deep region.
There's
that's
a lot
deep-
of good sweaters.
We got Fire Horse out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, Whalers advanced in a walkover. But that is a strong, deep sweater region, Keith. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a loaded region.
There's a lot of good ones. I wonder if, and we haven't gotten here yet, but the local teams, if they're just going to win out. Like, because you got to look at it. And the local teams have good jerseys.
I am a little nervous about that.
Is it just going to be?
We haven't had one yet, right?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But is the Final Four just going to be the New England ones? And we're going to be like, all right, we shouldn't have done
Sox,
this. Red Sox, Celtics.
Bruins, Celtics.
Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's possible.
That's probably very much in play, actually. we didn't quite think that one through.
I think there's a chance that happens.
Like most of this Jones and Keefe bracket, we didn't fully think it all through, Keefe.
No, we actually
thought
didn't know
movies
what was
and
win.
TV shows was going to win.
Yep.
Then we're like, it'll definitely be grab bags.
Grab bag sounders.
Somehow uniforms won, and it caught us all flat-footed.
We're like, oh, boy.
And yet,
here we go.
You know, I hear about all these other brackets the other shows on the station are going to do. Greg's show and WEI afternoons. Well, Greg's show was talking about doing X.
Oh, like stuff that
icks? Gross them out. Like if you were on a date, like an ick that somebody else does.
64 icks?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe there is.
You haven't seen those lists going around Twitter? It's like 500 things and they all get each other.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like you don't like when
I'm like, she's a girl who talked to me? Great. Got it.
That's basically
yeah, cool.
Girl looked at me, sold.
She laughed at one of my dumb jokes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. I'm like, I don't there are no icks.
That's true. It's
two. Did you check both those
did
boxes?
Did she throw a drink in my face? No. Okay.
One seed.
Yeah. We're moving on.
Okay.
Very good.
Great. There's four teams in the bracket.
You didn't block my number and call the cops? Great.
Going to propose tomorrow.
Sold.
And then Fitzy and Hart were talking about some ideas they have as well. So even as flat-footed as we are, Keith.
We're out in front.
We're off and running. We are setting the tempo, setting the pace.
It's March 7th, for God's sake.
Yeah, so get to at Jones and Keefe and vote. 617-779-7937. NHL trade deadline. A little more than 3 hours away. Could be the final 3 hours with Brad Marchand in a Bruins sweater, which, by the way, is the number 3 seed in the hockey region of the Jones and Keefe bracket. We will get to the latest at the NHL trade deadline. Are they really going to trade Marchand? Keefe isn't so sure. We'll get to it next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.